And come into my place, give orders, tell me what to do and how to do it in front of my crew? No, I don't, and I'm sorry. But you didn't give me much choice. I'll give you a choice. Get the hell out, now. Do you think you're the only one who's pissed? I can stay like this all night, or you can pull yourself together, and we'll straighten this out like normal people. You're hurting me. No, I'm not. Her chin wobbled. My burn! Shit. Instinctively, he loosened his hold. It was all she needed. Quick as a snake, sneaky as a shark, she sank teeth in the back of his hand. He cursed, hissed in air as he wrestled her down again. Jesus, you drew blood! I'll draw more in a minute. Fine. His hand ached like a bad tooth, infuriating him. This is the way you want it. I'll just hold you down while I do the talking. I want to know what's wrong with you. What's wrong with me? You dragged me out of my place of business. You manhandle me, shove me around. I didn't shove you. Yet. And I mean what's been wrong with you before this. Turning her head away, she stared daggers at the wall. I'm not talking to you. Exactly. And you haven't been, essentially, for the better part of a week. If I screwed up, I need to know it. If you don't want to be with me the way we've been, or move forward on it, I deserve to know that, too. I deserve a goddamn conversation with you, Avery, one way or the other. It's not about you, or us, or that. But wasn't it, she realized? On some level, wasn't it? Because she'd let it be. She closed her eyes. She was sick of it. Sick of herself. She'd hurt him. She could see that clearly enough now that she looked beyond her own bruises. And he'd done nothing to earn it. Something's wrong. You have to tell me.
Let me up, Owen. I can't talk like this.
He eased back, cautious, but she only shifted, sat up, then dropped her head in her hands. Is it the pizza shop? He couldn't think of anything else. If you've got some cash flow problems or...
No! No. I'm doing all right.
She rose to pull off her coat and the rest of her outdoor gear. You know, my grandmother set up that trust for me after my mother left. I guess part of it was guilt, though she didn't have anything to be guilty about. Still, I'm next in line, so... She shrugged. It meant I could open Vesta, and it means I can have the new place. I just have to make them work.
Is your grandmother sick?
No. Why? He asked, she realized. Because she stalled telling him the reasons.
No one's sick. You didn't screw up.
Then what?
My mother came to see me.
Your mother? When?
She was waiting for me on the stairs the night I got home from shopping with Claire and Hope. It really didn't go well.
She came back, sat on the bed beside him. Linked her fingers in her lap to keep them steady.
I didn't even recognize her. I didn't know who she was until she told me.
It's been a long time.
I don't know, maybe I'd blocked her face out of my head. Once I really looked, she hadn't changed that much. She said she wanted to see me, she was sorry. I wasn't having it. She cried a lot. It didn't touch me.
Why should it?
She was pregnant when they got married. I knew that. I'd done the math, and I talked to my father about it a long time ago. They loved each other, he said, and from his side, it must have been true. Maybe she thought she loved him. She pushed how young she was, just 19. But Dad was barely 21. He was young, but he handled it.
In comfort, Owen rubbed a hand on her thigh.
Willie B's a hell of a guy.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
she swiped at a tear, hating it.
I was a fussy baby. She had too much to do. She wasn't happy. Blah, blah, fucking blah. Then she drops the bombshell of how she'd had an abortion when I was around 3.
Now Owen laid a hand over hers. That's a hard thing to hear.
Yeah. I bet it was a lot harder for my father to hear. After the fact. She went, had an abortion, had her tubes tied, and never discussed those decisions with him. Never told him she was pregnant. Who does that? She demanded, turning drenched eyes to him. Who treats someone that way? She knew he wanted more kids, but she ended that possibility without telling him. It's another horrible kind of cheating.
He said nothing, but got up, found a box of tissues in the bathroom, and brought them to her.
Thanks. Crying about it doesn't help, but I can't get a handle on it yet.
Then maybe crying about it does help.
According to her, what she'd done came out when they were fighting, and gee, he was upset and mad. What are the odds? She agreed to marriage counseling, but hey, she felt trapped and unhappy. So she had an affair, and another. She admitted to 2, but there were more than 2, Owen, before she left. Even I figured that out.
She looked at him now.
You knew. Pretty much everyone knew she was fooling around.
He considered a moment, looking into those devastated eyes. She didn't want soothing evasions. Yeah, pretty much.
My mother, the town slut. It was easier, really, when she left.
This time he took her hand, brought it to his lips. It's never easy.
Maybe not. But at least it wasn't in my father's face, in mine, anymore. She stayed with the guy she left us for. That's what she said. And it felt true. Steve, that was his name. I got all the how unhappy she'd been, how she'd needed more, how she loved this Steve guy.
She can justify what she did with that to herself. You don't have to accept it. You feel what you feel.
I felt hard. I didn't like feeling it, but I did. I got lots of sorries, lots of how pretty I am, how proud she is of what I've done with my life. Like she had something to do with it. Then it came out this Steve died a few months ago.
So she's alone, Owen murmured.
Yeah, and broke. That came out, too, when she asked if she could borrow a few thousand.
He pushed up, walked to her window, stared out at the thickening snow. He couldn't imagine, just couldn't imagine a parent using a child for gain. But he could imagine just how deep a wound it would score, especially in someone like Avery. What did you do?
I said a lot of pretty harsh things. She cried more, Jesus, and begged. She wanted to stay here with me. A couple weeks, she said, then just for the night. Oh, it made me sick, all of it, just sick. I gave her what I had in my wallet and kicked her out.
You did what you had to do, and that's more than a lot of people would have. He turned back. Why didn't you tell me, Avery? Why did you push me away instead of letting me help?
I didn't tell anyone at first. I just couldn't.
He walked back, stood in front of her. I'm not anyone.
You can't understand, Owen. You can sympathize, and I wasn't looking for sympathy. I don't think I could have handled sympathy. But you can't understand because you've never felt unwanted. Not once in your life. You always knew your parents loved you, would have done anything to protect you. You don't know how much I envied you, your family, even before she left, how much I needed all of you, and you were always there, my dad and the Montgomerys. You were like my true north.
That hasn't changed.
No, it hasn't. But I had to make something of me for me, no matter how bad things are, and sometimes they were bad in our house. You want your mother to be there, to love you. And when she doesn't, you feel less.
Unable to think of another term, she lifted her hands, let them fall.
Just less. It didn't matter what my dad said, what your parents said, and God knows they said and did everything right. I still felt she left because of me. That I was bad or unworthy or just not enough. The truth is, I wasn't enough.
That's not on you, Avery.
I know that. But sometimes you know one thing and feel another. Maybe what she did is part of the reason I worked so hard, pushed so hard, and have what I have. So good for me.
After a moment's hesitation, she plunged on.
Even with that, there's this thing. The thing that asks why I've never been able to maintain a strong, long-term relationship. Why I've never felt enough to stick. Or why I jump too soon, then look for a way out. So I worry that's what she gave me.
It's not.
I pushed you away.
Steadier, she looked at him again.
You're right about that.
I hit a rough patch, so my default is push away instead of pull in.
I'm right here.
That's you, Owen. That's because you don't give up. You just work the problem until you have an answer.
He sat. What's the answer, Avery?
You're supposed to have it.
But she leaned her head on his shoulder.
I'm sorry. I hurt you, and I let you think you'd done something wrong when you hadn't. I've already got issues, I guess, and seeing her just screwed me up. Not just with you. Maybe mostly with you, but not just. I didn't even tell my father. Then I was going to. I'd worked through it that far.
He laid a hand over hers.
What did you cook?
God.
She blinked back tears.
So predictable. Soup. I took a big container of soup over to Dad's and she was there.
Shifting, he pressed his lips to the top of her head.
Harder yet.
I don't know. It just sort of flipped the switch. I was so mad that she'd go there, make him feel any part of what she made me feel. He looked so sad when I burst in. So sad with her sitting there crying. I couldn't stand it. Same tune. And the thing is, now that I've had some time, I don't think she was lying. Or not altogether. I think she is sorry. And maybe she's just sorry because she's alone now and can look back. But that's the thing. She's sad, sorry, and alone. And she knows she can't go back. He gave her $5,000 and told her she could have it if she never contacted me again. He told her to send him her number when she settled, and if I ever wanted to contact her, he'd pass it to me.
That's Willie B., Owen said quietly.
I couldn't understand why he'd give her money, and after she'd gone, he told me it was because she was grieving. That's the goodness in him, and it was because it closed a door he and I needed to close. That's him thinking of me. Him loving me.
He's the best there is. But he's not the only one who thinks of you.
I know. I'm lucky, even blessed. I couldn't tell you or Hope or Claire or anyone who really, really matters. I just couldn't admit my mother came back after all these years because she's alone and broke. No matter how sorry she may be for what she did, she only came back because she needed something. Knowing that makes me feel less. I wanted to close everybody out until I felt me again.
He waited a moment.
I have something to say.
Okay.
She's less, and always will be, for turning her back on you. For walking away, not just from her responsibilities, but from the potential of you. She'll never have a daughter who loves her absolutely, without reservation and with real joy, the way you love your dad. She's less, Avery. Not you.
Yes, but...
Not finished. Is your dad less?
God, no. He's more than most people could be.
She left him, too. She walked out on him without a word, chose another man over him. She didn't even give him the respect of truth, of a clean break with a divorce. But it didn't make him less of a man, of a father, of a friend. She came back because she needed something, and she took his money.
It's her, not him.
That's right. It's her, not him. Not you.
Something loosened inside her. Something tight and hard and painful. It helps to hear that.
I'm still not done. Whether you are happy or sad or mad or glad, you're still you. If you figure I'm only around, or you decide you only want me around when everything's solid, you're wrong, and you're stupid. It's not going to work that way for me. It's never been surface with us, and whatever else has changed, that can't. That's bottom line.
Shame wound through the lessening misery. I screwed up.
Yeah, you did. I'll cut you a break this time.
Relieved, she managed a smile. I owe you a break for when you screw up.
I'll remind you when the time comes.
Next, personally, I don't see the point in dragging in prior relationships, how and why they worked or didn't. This is you and me. If you decide it's not working, you better damn sure not look for an out. You tell me to my face.
I'm not some loser you need to shake off.
I never thought...
You tried shaking me off.
Excuses, rationalizations trembled on her tongue. Weak, she realized. Weak and wrong. I don't know if I tried because I thought I could, or I knew I couldn't. I just don't know the answer to that. Either way, it was wrong because, yeah, this is you and me.
She laid a hand on his cheek.
Solemn promises here and now. I'll tell you to your face when I'm done with you.
That got a smile. Same goes. When she shifted toward him, he put her on his lap.
She curled in, held on. I'm glad you acted like a bully and dragged me up here. I've missed talking to you, being with you.
I had to be a bully because you were a moron.
Calling me names isn't cutting me a break, she eased back. And you've got Beckett out there making deliveries.
He's got 3 kids now. He can use the tips.
She laughed, reached for his hand, released it when he yelped.
Oh, God!
She lifted it again, carefully. I really nailed you.
Tell me about it.
It's your own fault for falling for the, oh, you're hurting me, ploy.
Won't happen again.
Let me clean it up.
Later.
He pulled her back in. Just sat while the world rode smooth again.
You wouldn't have any of that soup left.
I have smoked tomato bisque in the freezer. I can heat it up.
Sounds good.
Later. He tipped her head back, found her mouth with his. Definitely later. Feeling sentimental, she roamed his face with kisses as she unbuttoned his shirt. He smelled of sawdust,
even along the column of his throat.
"I've missed this too," she murmured. "Missed touching you."
Only a few days, really, she thought, but the distance had spanned so wide, so deep. It felt like weeks. And here he was, smelling of sawdust, his chest warm and solid under the rough thermal shirt, and his hard-palmed hands confident and easy as he drew her sweater up and away. Her true north, she thought, constant and steady. He ached for her, not just physically, but in his heart for the hurt she'd endured, for the fact she'd felt obliged to endure it alone. She said he couldn't understand, but she was wrong. He'd never believed you had to experience pain to understand it. He'd thought he knew her, every facet. But there he'd been wrong. The parts of her that questioned her worth, her courage, her heart, those were new to him. Added complexities and vulnerabilities. To those hurts he offered a gentle touch, an easy glide, pleasing himself with the curves of her, the pulse beats, the sigh of breath warm against his skin. When she caught his face in her hands, when he saw her smile up at him before their lips met again, he thought, there. There was Avery. All of her. She stroked her hands down his back, over his hips, back again, as if measuring the length of him. Wanting to give, just give and give, she shifted to wrap around him. Heard him curse when her shoulder pressed against his sore hand. Oops! It choked the laugh out of her. And everything just fell away. All the guilt and grief, the apologies and worries. You and me, she thought again. It's you and me. So she wrapped around him and nipped her teeth at his shoulder. I've got a taste for you now. She rolled him over, nipped again.
Wanna play rough?
You already did, hauling me up here, throwing me down on the bed. Let's see how you like it. Mindful of his hand, she clamped his wrists, ranged over him.
I like it fine.
Because now we're naked.
It's a factor.
She lowered her head, stopped a breath from his lips, pulled back, lowered again, pulled back.
You're asking for trouble.
Oh, I can handle you. She leaned in again, then slid down to glide her tongue over his chest.
Okay, he thought as his blood surged. She could handle him.
She owned his body, every inch. Teasing, inciting, seducing, exciting. Quick and rough one moment, slow and tender the next. Leaving him off balance, off rhythm, and totally possessed.
Owen. Owen. Owen.
She whispered it again and again as she rose over him, drunk with power and lust. She took him in, deep, deep, clamped her hands on his shoulders as triumph and surrender catapulted through her system. He took her breasts, pressed his hand against her galloping heart. She lowered again, and this time let her lips take his in a long, trembling kiss. And she rose again, let her head fall back, let everything that was the two of them fill her. Then she rode them both empty. Later, she doctored his hand, kissed the little wound. In her blue-checked robe, she heated soup in the kitchen while he poured them each a glass of wine. On impulse, she lit candles for the table. Not quite a midnight supper, she thought with a glance at the time, but pretty close. It's snowing hard now. You should stay.
Yeah, I should.
Content,
She ladled soup into thick white bowls while the snow fell on the rest of the world.
Chapter 17. For as long as he could remember, Owen liked to figure things out, find the answers, wiggle out details. His innate propensity for schedules, agendas, bottom lines, and solutions made him a natural as coordinator of Montgomery Family Contractors. He'd never imagined, not seriously, doing anything else, and couldn't imagine anything else giving him the same level of satisfaction or pride. Working with his brothers suited him. They could and did disagree, piss each other off, bitch and complain, but they always came around. He understood their rhythms as well as he understood his own. He knew the weak spots in each, which could be handy if he was pissed off and wanted to needle. Solving problems in a way that presented the facts, offered possible compromises, and the occasional ultimatum was his thing. He approached the situation with Elizabeth as a problem. They had a ghost at the inn. Weird fact, yes, but fact. To date, she'd proved mostly amenable, somewhat temperamental, and she'd put them all in her debt by warning Beckett when that asshole Sam Fremont assaulted Claire. She'd only asked one thing. For Billy. The problem was, who the hell was Billy? When the hell was Billy? What connection did he have to the woman they'd dubbed Elizabeth? The ring indicated a relationship, possibly an engagement, but that in Owen's world wasn't fact. Their resident ghost wasn't saying either way. It seemed to Owen the best place to start would be to identify Elizabeth, and to pin down when she'd died. Where, though it wasn't verified fact but logical supposition, was the inn. Makes the most sense, right? He'd set up his laptop in the dining room, on the theory Elizabeth might give him more direction if he worked the problem on location. That's how it strikes me, Hope agreed, and set coffee at his elbow. Why else would she be here? I've been poking around paranormal activity sites. You pick up all kinds of wild stuff, and a lot of it has to be crap. But what I've pulled out is most people who haven't, you know, passed over, tend to stick around where they died, or go back to a place that was important or significant to them. If she died here, she could have been a guest, could have worked here, could have been related or connected to the owners. Death records would be a starting point, but where to start?
That's part of it, yeah?
Well, the way you described what she wore, it makes me think after the start of the Civil War and before 1870. Not the wide, wide hoop skirt, but still a wide skirt.
Yeah, kind of.
He held his arms out. It was a pretty quick look. If she'd let me get a look at her, I'd have a better idea. And why wouldn't she? Hope wondered. After all, they were, as Avery said, inmates. How about the sleeves?
The sleeves?
Of the dress, Owen. Long, short, snug, poofy.
Long. Kind of big, I think.
Gloves? Did she wear gloves?
I don't know that I...
You know, I think so, but without fingers on them. Kind of lacy, or like my grandmother's crocheting. And now that I think about it, one of those wrap things. A shawl. And you said a snood.
He could only stare.
I did?
You said she had her hair up in a net in the back. That's a snood.
If you say so.
I do. I've got a minute or two. Can I? She asked, gesturing at his keyboard.
Help yourself.
He turned it toward her as she sat and waited, enjoying his coffee as she typed. I'm pretty sure if you put those elements together, you're talking early to mid-1860s.
He let her work in silence for a few minutes. Peaceful here, he thought, in the middle of the day. He should get back next door before too much longer, give Ryder a hand, and maybe slip over to Vesta later, see if he could talk Avery into going out, or staying in.
How about this?
Hope turned the screen toward him.
What do you think?
Curious, he studied the illustration of a small group of women in a kind of drawing room. I think I wonder why women wanted to wear something that looks that uncomfortable.
Fashion hurts, Owen. We live with it.
I guess.
This is pretty close, in type, I mean. The skirt was pretty much like this one, and the sleeves, and it had a high neck like this one. Maybe some lace or something on it.
This is fashion from 1862, so you could start there. And I doubt you're looking for a maid or servant,
Hope added as she studied the illustration.
It's too fashionable. Not impossible, as it could have been a dress passed to her by an employer or relative, but going with the odds, she dressed like a woman of some means.
We'll play the odds to start.
Thanks.
You're welcome. And it's interesting. I'll be in the office if you need me.
He intended to give it a half hour, then strap on his tool belt. But he got caught up, poking through old records, old newspaper articles, genealogy sites. At some point, Hope walked back in, freshened his coffee, added a plate of warm cookies. He finally sat back, frowned at his screen.
What the hell is this? Ryder demanded. You're sitting here eating cookies while I'm up to my ass next door?
Huh?
It's 2:30.
Oh, sorry. I think I found her.
Found who?
Ryder snatched the last cookie, and his scowl eased off after he bit in.
You know,
Owen pointed toward the ceiling.
Her. For Christ's sake, Owen, we've got work. Play Ghost Hunter on your own time.
Eliza Ford of the New York Fords.
I'm glad we cleared that up.
Seriously, Rye, I think it fits. She died here from some kind of fever in mid-September 1862. She's buried in New York. She was 18. Eliza, Elizabeth, Lizzie. That's kind of cool, isn't it?
I'm riveted. She's been here for about 150 years. I think she can wait until we finish the goddamn work next door.
He picked up the mug, took a drink.
Coffee's cold.
I'm going to go up, try to talk to her. I'll make up the time after. Avery's working until 6 anyway.
Really? Glad this petty business of the job fits in with your social schedule.
Because Ryder's tone put his back up, Owen matched it with his own.
I said I'd make up the time, and goddammit, we owe her. She warned us about Sam Fremont. He might have, damn well would have, done worse to Claire if Beck hadn't gotten there in time. Shit.
Ryder dragged off his gimme cap, raked his hand through his hair.
All right. Go talk to your dead friend. Then get next door. Are there any more of those cookies?
I don't know. Ask Hope. On a grunt, Ryder headed out. Owen shut down, but left his laptop on the table as he climbed the stairs. He'd found several women between the ages of 18 and 30 who died in town during the right time frame. And there'd be more yet if he went with the theory that a ghost could pick his or her own age. But Eliza Ford felt right. He got all the way up before he remembered standard operating procedure had Hope or Carol Lee locking all the guest room doors when they weren't occupied. By the living, anyway. He started to turn, go back down, and the door to Elizabeth and Darcy opened.
Okay. I'll take that as a come on in.
It felt strange, stepping into the room that smelled of its signature English lavender scent and Elizabeth's, or Eliza's, honeysuckle.
So,
the door eased closed with a quick click behind him and had a little chill running along his spine.
So,
he repeated. We've been open over a month now. Things are going pretty good. We had a little wedding last weekend. I guess you know about that. It went fine, from what Hope reported.
So anyway, I've got to get to work in the next building. But I've been doing some research downstairs. On you. It'd help us help you if we knew who you are. Eliza? The lights flickered on and off, made his fingers tingle. Are you Eliza Ford? The shape came first, blurred and soft, then sharpened into the figure of a woman. She smiled at him and curtsied. I knew it! Eliza! She laid a hand on her heart, and he swore he heard the whisper inside his own head. Lizzie. They called you Lizzie, a nickname.
Billy.
Billy called you Lizzie. Billy who? She crossed her other hand over the one at her heart, closed her eyes. You loved him. I got that. Did he live here, in Boonesboro? Near here, what? Did you come to visit him? Was he with you when you died, or maybe he died first? Her eyes flew open. He recognized shock, cursed himself. Maybe she didn't know she was dead, or that Billy had to be dead. He'd read up on that, too. I mean, did you meet him here? At the hotel? At the inn? She faded. A moment later, the porch door swung wide, then slammed shut. Okay. I guess you've got some thinking to do. I'll talk to you later. Nice going, Owen, he muttered to himself as he went downstairs. Really tactful. So, Lizzie, how does being dead feel? Shit. He carted his laptop out to his truck, got his tools. Then he went through the gate and into the building next door to do penance with his nail gun.
That's so sad.
Avery poured the marinade she'd made that morning over the tuna steaks.
Only 18. I know people didn't live as long and women usually got married and had kids a lot sooner. But still, 18. A fever?
I couldn't find much. I'll look more now that I have this name to go on. It was really just a few lines.
Eliza. That's so close to what Beckett started calling her. And the Lizzie nickname, too.
It makes it all feel kind of ordained, I guess. Mom picked the name and location of the room. Beckett started calling her Elizabeth because of that. Then Lizzie.
I don't know about ordained, but it's spooky. A good spooky. And I think you're great. I'll even give you brilliant for finding her. But how's that going to help you find this Billy?
I needed something solid. I have her name, where she lived, where and how she died, even if she didn't know that. So I can try to follow those dots to him. Was she meeting him here? Was he a local? Another traveler?
As she washed field greens, she glanced back at him. September 1862. That could be the answer.
Why?
Owen. She let the greens drain, stepped toward him. How long have you lived in southern Washington County?
All my... Oh, shit. I didn't think of it. I was so focused on finding her, and when I hit that name...
The Battle of Antietam. Or Sharpsburg, depending which side you were on. September 17, 1862. Bloodiest single day in the Civil War.
He could have been a soldier. Maybe, he mused. She could have come here to try to see him, make some contact. People even went out and watched battles, right? Made frickin' picnics out of it.
People have always been screwy. Anyway, she died the day of the battle. You said she came from New York. So it seems logical she stayed at the inn. If she had friends or relatives in the area, it feels like she would have stayed with them. Could be Billy's from New York, too. And she followed him down here for some reason.
Or he's from the area and she came to be with him. Or he, like most men his age,
if we figure he's close to hers, was fighting in the war.
That seems most likely. Taste this.
He took the piece of thin, crispy bread.
Good. Really good. What is it?
An experiment. Pizza dough, rolled almost paper-thin, herbed, baked. I'm thinking of serving it in the new place. So it feels like if she'd come to see him, and they'd hooked up, she wouldn't need to find him now. She died, but if he was here, wouldn't he have been with her? So he, following that train, wasn't here when she got sick.
Or he just let her down, didn't come. Could have been married, not interested.
She snatched the plate of bread away before he could grab another piece.
That's not romantic. Stick with romantic, or no more for you.
I'm just considering possibilities.
When she continued to hold the bread out of reach, he rolled his eyes.
Okay, they were the Civil War version of Romeo and Juliet, star-crossed lovers.
I don't like teenage suicide. Think of another.
I'm too hungry to think.
Relenting, she set the plate back down.
Either way, or anyway, it doesn't seem like it helps find Billy.
I'm going to see what else I can find out about Lizzie, stage one.
He broke the bread in two, offered her half.
You could call it crack bread for the sound when you break it, and because it's addicting.
Ha! Maybe snap bread. I'm thinking of putting it and breadsticks in a kind of glass tube on each table.
We should be able to start the demo next week.
Next week? Really? Seriously?
He loved watching her light right up.
Just the demo, but yeah. I checked on the permit status. I should be able to pick it up tomorrow afternoon.
No, boy!
She swung around the counter, jumped in his lap.
Oh, boy, oh, boy!
When his mouth was free again, he grinned.
Can't wait to see what you do when I get the building permit.
It may include costumes.
Oh, boy!
What kind of costumes?
Owen?
On a sigh, she nuzzled in.
It's probably going to be crazy for a while. The planning, the prep, the execution. I'm probably going to be crazy for a while.
And that's different from usual, Hal?
She got a pinch in before she slid off his lap.
I just want you to know it won't be because I'm avoiding you or pulling back.
Okay.
Since she'd opened the door a little, he stepped through.
Did your mother send any contact information to your dad?
No.
She lifted her shoulders, let them fall. But she couldn't shrug it off when he took her hands, held her gaze, just waited her out.
Okay, I'm not holding my breath, but maybe she's not settled yet. Or, face up, maybe she's never going to send anything. He gave her money, and it's possible that was the bottom line. I don't know how I feel about it, or her, exactly, Avery continued. It's like thinking Billy wasn't with Lizzie, on purpose. It's harsh. There's enough harsh in the world. I'm going to try a little optimism for a change.
Then we'll go with, he'd have been with her if he could.
I like that better. If Tracy never sends anything, I'm going to have to be okay with it. I don't know, honestly, why I'd contact her anyway. She's not a part of my life, and that was her choice.
I hate that it hurts you.
So do I. It's hard knowing anyone has that kind of power over my feelings. So I'm going to get over it. Enough about her.
Avery waved her hands in the air as if erasing.
Welcome to McTee's Testing Kitchen. I'm going to be your server, your chef, and your sommelier this evening.
All that?
And more, after. If you're lucky.
I'm feeling lucky.
Tonight we're presenting seared pepper-crusted tuna over a bed of field greens and julienne vegetables, finished with a champagne vinaigrette.
Luckier and luckier.
To start, our hopefully soon-to-be-famous crab and artichoke heart appetizer, all served with our recommendation of a crisp Sauvignon Blanc.
Sign me up.
Honest feedback, she said.
You can count on me.
She got out a pan for the tuna, smiled.
I do.
To make up the time spent on his search for Billy and his evenings with Avery, Owen put himself at Ryder's disposal. At the rate they were going, he calculated they'd have the bakery ready by June, and the apartments above it ready for tenants. He'd gathered a little more information on Eliza Ford, but wanted to let it settle in his mind a while. As promised, demo began on the pub side of Avery's new restaurant, and the two projects moved forward as February raced toward March. As the April wedding drew closer, the brothers, and some of the crew, devoted weekends to Beckett's house. On a Sunday afternoon, the sudden rise in temperatures melted the snow cover and turned the ground into a muddy mess. But inside the house, the floors gleamed around the trails of muddy cardboard as the three brothers stood scanning the nearly finished kitchen.
"It looks good," Beckett pronounced. "Damn good. Counter guys are coming in tomorrow to start the install, here and in the bathrooms. We may just make it."
"You'll make it." Owen had the schedule and refused to be daunted.
"If you hadn't let it sit here half-finished, less," Ryder pointed out, "we wouldn't be busting ass now."
"Live and learn. Anyway, this way Claire gets to put her own stamp on it. It's ours instead of mine."
"So speaks the man already prepared to be whipped."
"So speaks the man marrying the love of his life," Beckett turned. "Good light, good space. It'll be great to spread out again. There's not an inch of room left at Claire's place. I'm always stepping over a kid or a dog."
"And do you think that's going to change?" Owen asked.
"No," Beckett thought about it and laughed.
"I'm okay with that, and looking forward to stepping over kids and dogs right here. Barely a month to go to the wedding."
"It's cool they're using the inn for the bridal shower thing," Owen commented. "It may be another area of revenue down the road."
"More important, bachelor party." Ryder hooked his thumbs in his tool belt. "We've got to send you off to the great unknown, right?"
"I'm working on it," Owen reminded him.
"Yeah, yeah. Why all the work and fuss? Why can't we just go to a titty bar? It's a classic for a reason."
"Poker, cigars, and whiskey. Groom's choice."
"No strippers," Beckett confirmed. "It's just too weird." "Man, you're breaking my heart." "When it's your turn, we'll have strippers."
"I'll be too old to appreciate them. No plans to walk into the great unknown until I'm eligible for Social Security."
"On second thought, a man's never too old to appreciate naked women. Make a note."
Justine, arms full, used her elbow to tap on the glass atrium door. Owen opened it, took the big insulated bag, the enormous thermos.
"Oh, look at this. Beckett, it's wonderful."
"He didn't do it alone," Ryder reminded her.
"All for one," she murmured. "You're going to have a beautiful home. You've all done so much since I was here a few weeks ago."
"I'll give you the full tour."
"I'll take it. First, I brought lunch. Minestrone, grilled ham and cheese sandwiches, apple crisp."
"Best mom ever."
Ryder opened the insulated bag. "I'll stick with the soup." Owen laid a hand on his stomach. "I've been eating more since Avery's using me as a tester, and working out less with Beck's place on the schedule."
"Interesting you should mention working out."
Justine took paper plates, bowls, spoons out of her enormous purse.
"That's something I want to talk to you all about."
She set everything out on the plywood currently covering the base cabinets.
"I've got cold drinks out in the car."
"We got you covered."
Beckett opened a cooler.
"Any diet in there?"
"Why would there be?" Ryder wondered.
"Oh, well, give me the straight shot," Justine decided. "I'll work it off soon enough. Especially in, oh, say 9 months to a year when I can put in an hour or so and fit in Boonesboro."
Ryder paused on his way to taking a huge bite of grilled ham and cheese.
"Mom."
Placidly, Justine poured soup into a bowl, offered it to Owen.
"It's come to my attention the building behind the inn, one we currently share a parking lot with, is for sale,"
Beckett sighed.
Mom. And it occurred to me there's no fitness center in town, even close to town. People have to get in the car, drive, go to the gym, get back in the car. And Hope's already reported a number of guests at the inn have asked about workout facilities.
Owen stared down at his soup.
Mom?
Cheerfully, Justine plowed on.
Currently, it's not a particularly attractive building, not one that affords our guests a nice view from the courtyard or the back porches. But it could be. We'd also gain parking.
We haven't finished the bakery, Owen pointed out.
We've barely started on the new restaurant.
And of all my sons, you're the one who understands best the value of advanced planning. I'm in negotiations. I haven't bought it yet, and wouldn't without discussing it with you first. Negotiations take time. Settlement takes time. If it goes well, Beckett could start working on drawings when he's back from his honeymoon.
Mom, Beckett began, have you been in that place lately?
As a matter of fact, I have. It needs work.
She offered him soup.
A lot of work. Aren't we lucky we know how? And it's not nearly as complicated as the inn was.
Ought to buy it just to level it, Ryder muttered.
And you know better. Gut it, yes. Level it, no.
You already know what you want in there.
She smiled at Owen.
I have ideas. We'd be on the small side, of course, compared to big chain fitness centers. But we'd offer everything we could in that setting. A 21st century fitness center with a small town appeal. A large and varied menu of classes.
Even if we could turn that place into what you're talking about, you'd have to staff it, find trainers, instructors.
Leave that in to me, she told Ryder. A large classroom on the second floor and a small child care area. Maybe a treatment room for massages, fitness area with cardio equipment, circuit training, weights on the main level, a small classroom and locker rooms, each with a steam room and a sauna. Very spa-like in there, I'd think. We'll figure it out.
She gave Beckett a pat on the cheek.
Won't we?
I guess we will. If you get it.
Her smile widened.
Leave that to me, too. Now, how about that tour?
Sure. We'll start upstairs, work our way down.
Frowning, Ryder watched them go.
Damn it. Damn it, it's a good idea.
She mostly has them. Even if she got it quick, it would be mid-spring earliest. More like early summer before we had the plans and permits. That's mostly on Beck.
Thank Christ. Wouldn't mind gutting that place, he considered. I like me some serious demo. But we ought to get the bakery settled first. We have to get somebody in there, unless Mom thinks we're going to start baking cupcakes.
I might have a line on that. Somebody Avery knows a little. She's moved up here from D.C., where she worked as a pastry chef. She's looking for a space for her own bakery.
Another city girl? Ryder shrugged. What does she look like?
Married?
Just as well. You figure that part out. Beck'll figure out what we're doing on the gym. And I'll keep the crew going.
It's what we do, Owen said.
And she has to run out of old buildings eventually.
With a laugh, Owen took a sandwich after all.
Don't count on it, son.
A gym?
Hope said.
That's the plan, if they get the property.
Avery sat with Hope in the dining room, finalizing the plans for Claire's shower.
Owen says his mom's all over it. And they'd paint it, right? They wouldn't leave it that fugly green it is now. I think you can count on that. Owen said Beck's made noises about raising the roof, getting rid of the flat job, doing a pitched one.
It'd be nice for guests, and for me. Just walk across the parking lot to a shiny new gym?
Happy days. I've been limited to DVDs since I moved here. I'd love an honest-to-God yoga class. I've always wanted to take one. Enough stretching, maybe I'd get taller. So if this is the last of it, I can pick all this up at the end of the week when I do my next supply run.
Perfect.
It's going to be lovely. Flowers, pretty food, champagne, a fussy cake, a few silly games with classy prizes. It'll be Claire. And before we turn around again, we'll be watching her marry Beckett.
Which leads me to ask if you and Owen are thinking about the same.
No, no, Avery said with a half laugh. We're in a good place right now. Smooth, which is nice. And you know, I've never been sold on marriage. For me. Maybe we'll move toward living in sin one of these days.
I hear the words, but I don't feel convinced.
You love him.
I love him.
And I've maybe slipped right along to in love with him.
It was easier to say it, to feel it, than she'd ever imagined.
I'm trying to get used to that, see if it sticks. Like I said, we're in a good place right now, and we're both crazy busy. It sounds like that's not going to end anytime soon, the crazy busy.
Avery, I've never known you or him since I've gotten to know him. Wanted anything but busy.
It's who you are, both of you.
It's a plus.
I'm not pushing, but I want to say every time I see the two of you, I think, perfect.
Avery's found her perfect match.
Shifting, Avery rubbed her hands on her thighs.
I think you're scaring me a little.
Toughen up. Take your time, sure, but if he's not every bit as in love with you as you are with him, I don't know how to organize an office.
Keep it up. I'll start pairing you up with Ryder.
Talk about scary. My lips from now on are sealed. Tight.
Chapter 18. Avery gave herself an extra hour in Owen's bed. He'd been up, dressed, and gone by 6:45 to make a 7 o'clock meeting on the job site. Her job site, this time, she thought as she snuggled in to let herself drift in and out. She'd considered going in with him, just to see the next stage, but she didn't have to be told she'd be in the way, bog things down. She'd just stop in later in the morning, after she'd made her supply run, finished her list of errands. By then, the demo should be well underway. More fun, she thought lazily, to be surprised by progress. Lots of progress in lots of areas, she mused. Her best friend would be married in less than a month, and she'd be a part of it. She'd be a part of watching two good friends make promises to each other, make a family, celebrate a kind of miracle. Love seemed a kind of miracle to her. One she'd never been absolutely sure existed. But she'd seen it for herself with Claire and Beckett. Seen them come together, find that miracle, and have the faith and courage to trust it. Part of her errand that morning included picking up the last of the party supplies for the shower, from the exacting and detailed list Hope had printed out for her. She loved knowing Claire and Beckett would take a week for themselves after the wedding with an island honeymoon on St. Kitts. One day, Avery thought, she'd have to take a vacation in some tropical paradise. One day she'd have to take a damn vacation, she thought, opening one eye to look at the gloomy sky outside the bedroom window. She would. She'd get her new place up and running, get the routine smooth, then reward herself with a few days of sun, white beaches, and blue water. Some place she'd never been. Some place where no one knew her. Maybe Owen would go with her. Wouldn't it be interesting to see how they dealt with nothing to do, with being strangers in a strange land, together? And she loved that later in the summer, after school let out, the newlyweds planned a week's vacation with the kids. A family moon, she'd heard Little Murphy call it. What could be better, she decided, than a family moon? Meanwhile, Owen and Hope dug deeper into the mystery of Eliza Ford when one or the other could squeeze out the time. Were Lizzie and Billy a kind of miracle, she wondered. Had love brought them together before tragedy crept in?
Or was the answer less romantic, and probably more realistic, as Owen had suggested?